You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Coming up bottom of the hour, head coach Kenny Farrell as the Jesters have a soccer match tonight. They'll be playing, and coach will help us preview that in his weekly Jesters segment coming up bottom of the hour. Before then, though, we are at Saints camp here on Airline Drive. Open locker room going on right now. Brian and Elise, Jordan, the intern in there, hustling up some player sound, talking about week one in the books for OTAs, as it's a three-week session or three-week period, three weeks of OTAs, 3 days in those weeks. So today we saw OTA number three. Next week will be six and then nine, as we get to see the Thursday, the last day of the weeks going into it. We'll have head coach Sean Payton for you, so you can hear him recap what he thought on practice here as well. 800-998-1003. If you have any comments, any questions, anything you want to bring up that we maybe saw, didn't see, or are not mentioning right now, I'm kind of going to go over some of the things that stood out in the time that we got to watch practice this morning. Weather moved the practice indoors in the middle of it. They were out there just after 10 o'clock. We got out there around 10:30, and I would say about 11:15, you could see the rain coming down from Airlines. Some thunder and lightning is what moved it indoors. So they went straight into the indoor facility. We went in there as well and watched a couple of team drills. Some fisticuffs took place. A pair of interceptions took place as well. And then, of course, a couple of other storylines that we'll touch on. So 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. If you'd like to tweet us anything as well, how did this one look? What did you think about this? Or what have you? It might, you know, cue something up in our minds that we saw from practice today. So I'm going to get right into it. I'm going to go through some bites and kind of some of the things we said. That's what I'm saying. If there's something that I'm not touching on, feel free to hit me up on it, and we'll pass it along to you. The first thing that stood out to me today, folks, is health. I mean, that's the one thing that stood out to me is health. I've said this a while as well, that maybe across the league, some of the moves in free agency, Some folks may not say, hey, that's, you know, huge moves by the Saints. But if you're looking at the 20-plus people that were on IR and a handful of those, over a half dozen were starters, getting some of those guys back is going to be a good thing. But also, in some of the newer faces, you're wondering how health will be a question. In particular, to me, on the top of that list is wide receiver Cameron Meredith. You got him in free agency from the Chicago Bears. They decided not to match your offer, and you brought him into the room. Head coach Sean Payton bringing in two receivers to Curtis Johnson, his wide receivers coach, drafting Tre'Quan Smith and Cameron Meredith, adding to that receiving core. And all across the board now, 6'1 and above from Michael Thomas, who again looks like as Brian Elise calls him, just a freak of nature, just a specimen. He looks thicker, stronger, and just as good as we've seen. Again, I get it. And mind you, all of what I'm going to say, we preface by, I know there's no shoulder pads. I know there's no, but I get it. It's May 24th. I'm just telling you what we observed, and we'll take it from there. But here's a drill, and I've yet to had a chance to tweet it. It's an offensive drill where it's just the receivers and running backs or tight end, right? So it would be like 7-on-7 minus the defense, if that makes sense to you. So it's just the offensive players running routes and the quarterbacks hitting those routes to them. Breeze back the pass, looks over the middle, looks left, near sideline, fires a strike to number 81. And they're, you know, grabbing our rosters. What was it? 81 is Cameron Meredith. I was like, whoa. I thought he was supposed to be back for training camp. I thought he was targeting the start of the regular season to be ready. He was hoping to be ready for training camp to start working out with the team. No. He was running out there. Now, you probably would have listed it as limited today because he did everything but team drills. So, again, working him back. after he did the individual drills, as we'll call it, and with the rest of the offense, he went and worked on the side with Scottie Patton, the team trainer. They were high-fiving and everything, and he drank some water, took a knee, and watched the team drills. But, I mean, no knee brace, no neosprene, sleeve that you would kind of look at for compression or anything like that. He was wearing black tight pants that, you know, that or a capris, I guess you want to call them that most players were wearing. I mean, two-thirds of the team were wearing them. So, you know, compression shorts, whatever you call it. That's a great sign. I mean, I said that to Brian and Jordan. I'm like, guys, that to me is a story today. I mean, that's a story today. It's a guy that the Bears didn't have the faith and confidence in could come back from this injury, and he's out here right now and not limping. And it wasn't just that one play. He caught several passes. He ran several routes. And what's key about that is, while yes, you didn't have him in the team drill today, why risk contact? Which is probably why you didn't do that. Well, that's fine. You don't need that. The and I would have never known that he would have had knee surgery. I couldn't have told or been able to tell. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't have the bulky brace. He didn't have the neoprene sleeve or anything. Nothing. Just him.
Mr. Gus.
Yes, sir.
I hate to interrupt you, sir.
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. We just got hit by lightning, so you were off off about a minute or two. So if you can repeat what you said, because everybody, I was really interested in it.
I just gave you the breaking news. You missed the break. No, I didn't. Well, I was talking about Cameron Meredith being back, and the good thing about Cameron Meredith being back, of course, is the fact that there's no sign of that injury or anything of that nature. He went out there. He didn't do the team drill portions, probably because you want to avoid contact. But for the most part, look, that's a great sign because he can run the routes. He can start learning the playbook and he can start getting timing down with the quarterbacks. And again, this is a player that was targeting the beginning of the season, the regular season, if not training camp, to come do it. Sean Payton afterwards.
Yeah, he's ahead of schedule. That's encouraging. I made the comment to Bo 2 days ago during the walkthroughs, watching him move around, and you guys saw him. He's way ahead of schedule, and certainly where our doctors had hoped, and even better. He's going to factor in this year. He's a player that we've got a real clear vision for.
And look, again, that's the one thing that stood out to me, right off the top, is health. No Cam Jordan, full go in terms. I mean, you saw him not really participate in some of the team stuff. Alex Okafor, AJ Klein were on the Tour de Lee. They were riding the bikes. That's what I call people that ride the stationary bikes, for practice. No Mark Ingram, as you know, he's holding out. Sean Payton on Mark Ingram.
Yeah, we spoke, before. Before we even got into phase one, we've had a couple conversations, and those are he and I talking, I told him at some point I'm going to be talking to the media, and this is what I'm going to say. I don't necessarily agree with the decision, and yet I certainly respect it. He's a smart player. The challenge is the loss of Ingram for the first 4 weeks, so he can come to training camp, participate, much like Willie Snead a year ago, in everything leading up until the last cutdown date, and at that point he's out of the building for a month. So, but that seems like a ways away right now, and but I do know that he's someone that knows what we're doing, and I'm sure is staying in shape.
Now, the other follow-up on that too is he disappointed that Mark Ingram isn't there?
Listen, it's important to separate, personal feelings and professional feelings. And, I care too much for a guy like him and think the world of him. And I told him when we spoke, I said, hey, I don't necessarily agree with it. We talked for a long time, a couple times. So, it is what it is.
For a guy like Sean Payton, he wants him here. And again, I'm just trying to think of where that leverage point is. And it's funny because we're sitting out there and we're watching the OTA this morning, and I'm looking at Brian and Jordan, the intern, and I'm like, you know, this roster's pretty stacked. And I'm going to say from top to bottom. Yeah, you may not know a ton of Jonathan Williams, Trey Edmonds, Boston Scott. I mean, you saw Edmonds have that touchdown at Buffalo. But when you're watching the reps and the drills, and I know there's no pads, and I know there's no tackling. I get it. Man, and then you add what I saw, and we talked about earlier in the show, the body language and the chemistry that looks like it's grown with Drew Brees and Kamara. I mean, they're almost inseparable, you know? After a drill in which he tosses the ball to Kamara, Brees is running downfield, getting the ball back from Kamara, then throwing him a little pass, and they jog together, and then they're chatting. It just, I'm Mark Ingram. I don't know how this is helping. You know what I mean? I mean, if your goal is to get a new contract, you're negotiating with an organization that made Drew Brees wait until the beginning of the regular season to get his deal done. And no offense to Mark. You're not Drew Brees. A Hall of Famer. I mean, go ahead and start making the statue. The guy could run for mayor. Governor. They made him wait to the opening week of the regular season, the second to last contract extension. And he showed up to everything. And he's, as Brian calls him, Captain America, delivering prosthetic legs to kids. I mean, he's Captain America. They made him wait. Now you can argue, well, it's different money. Well, how much money do you think Mark Ingram's getting? I'm just trying to think of where does he think the leverage is? Had $4 million at 4 years, the last deal. Okay, a couple thousand yard seasons. I can see you saying you need a raise. I got you. The team drafted what looks like Marshall Faulk 2.0. The team drafted or brought in via free agency and draft two new receivers in Tre'Quan Smith and Cameron Meredith. The team brought in Ben Watson at tight end to help them in the passing game. I mean, you see what I'm getting at here? Touches are not going to be as plentiful. Where's your leverage here? I'm trying to understand the negotiating tactic here. This is an organization that if you don't show up to OTAs and stuff like that, they're not going to stop in the middle of it and be like, ah, Mark, you're right. I get it, Mark. I do. Odell Beckham Jr. is a Giants OTAs. And he wants a massive deal. He wants to be the highest paid player in football. Like morning quarterbacks. I don't understand where Mark thought this was going to be a good thing. Because what I'm trying to get at as we go into break here, is the longer you stand on that field and you watch the Saints offense move around and Drew looks like he's still 25 and he's moving around and there's Cameron Meredith who's supposed to be bummed up until the beginning. Now he's catching passes and there's Tre'Quan Smith, a nice new rookie, new tour that Curtis Johnson can play with, catching balls. He didn't drop anything. And dude, I was telling Brandon Ola East, Brandon Coleman, who wasn't out here today, he can't miss a practice. You're Mark Ingram? I'm watching Jonathan Williams, Edmonds, and, you know, wait till you hear when we come back. I'll play what Sean Payton talked about with Boston Scott. He's like, don't think that this guy's just going to be like this little scat back here or something like that. He likes him. He loves Trey Edmonds, and he thinks highly of Jonathan Williams, Sean Payton. These are all running backs. I'm Mark Ingram. I don't know how you're helping your cause with this. I just don't, because the Saints are just moving along. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
You better not let him in. little old lady got mutilated late last night.
Brian Windhorst, I like to call him the King's Scribe, saying the Cavs missed an opportunity last night. Jeff Van Gundy, part of the broadcast yesterday. Yes, the story today is LeBron being tired. Why was he so tired? Saints players didn't look too tired. It was actually comfortable, Joey. I know the rains have come and gone, and you said we got hit by lightning over there in LaRose.
Yes.
Here in Metairie. Yeah, I mean, got moved inside, but just walked outside there during the break just to kind of look at it. Still cloudy. There's a lot of water on the ground, so there was some good showers. You could hear the lightning and the thunder, rather. Not the lightning, but you could hear the thunder here inside the facility as open locker room is going on right now. To kind of finish on the running backs here, because I think depth is going to be a storyline over the next couple of weeks. Not only OTAs, minicamp, training camp going into it. We mentioned it last hour, Joey, that with Brian and I, there's going to be some cuts come August where there's going to be some names, man. I wouldn't be surprised if they played last year on this team that helped get to the playoffs, honestly. But let's just wrap up on the linebackers and then some more depth, because this could be a battle at linebacker. And Sean Payton was asked if this is the most depth he's had on the defensive line. So we're going to get to those bites here next, but first, here's Sean Payton on Boston Scott.
He's picked things up pretty quickly. We worked him out the week before the draft. You know, he's from Baton Rouge. He'll work with the punt return, kick return units. You know, he's shorter, but he's built pretty well. He is someone that has, I think, good instincts. So it's early, but, you know, he's done some really good things. I think there's a running ability he has as well, not just as a really, I wouldn't look at him as a joker back, if you will. I mean, he's got some of those traits, but he does a pretty good job with some of the inline runs.
Will he also have a great opportunity as a punt returner? Or?
Yeah, punt and kick returner. And when you put Boston, Scott, you get confused because you might call him Scott Boston, right? He's got one of those names.
Look at that, Joey. Look at that. He's making a funny. Coach Sean Payton. he was making a funny.
What a
making
guy.
A funny. Again, I'm sure he has his reasons, and I'm sure for whatever the reason, he thinks that it will help. But again, if I'm Mark Ingram, the best way to kind of let the team know that what you got is to be here, to can see you. You know, Joe, you know that phrase, out of sight, out of mind?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if some of these other young running backs start looking pretty good. I just, you know, and again, I get it. How much can you really evaluate or not? But look, some of these other guys got some size, and it'll just be interesting to see as they move along. Because again, I've said this before, from Ben Watson to Meredith to Traquan Smith, you're probably going to get a few more, you know, with Kamara. And look, the fact you're not going to be here for the first four games, I would be here. Again, that's just me. I would be here. The depth, though, on this football team, I think, is starting to become apparent. Coach was asked today, is this the deepest you have been on the defensive line?
A while is a while, so I can't remember that far back. But, look, we're deeper at end than we have been. And obviously, you know, we have an early draft pick at that position, but you know, but it's a tough position to find when the season's over with in free agency. But you can find some good football players. We have over the years guys that have come in and played a significant role. They might not have been, you know, high draft picks, but there have been a lot of guys. Hollis Thomas, Bobby McCray, Jeff Charleston. I'm missing 100 names. Anthony Hargrove. These are all guys that were good value signs for us that were important players. Remy Adele, I'm going to leave out someone now, but Tom Johnson, Tyron Walker, just to name a few.
So, look, in he mentions there's going to be some names that you're going to be missing there. Mitchell Lowen is a name that we touched on earlier in the show, defensive line. 6'5". Trying to make a name there. I mentioned earlier this hour, fisticuffs took place. It was David Onyemata throwing some hands towards some offensive linemen. And we mentioned right after that when we were talking about it in hour one, that's competitiveness. That's competitiveness from probably knowing your job's on the line or knowing snaps or at the very least are on the line. And that's what depth brings. Depth brings guys knowing, man, if I don't stand out and I don't make play, every play is going to be competitive because, again, all you can do is evaluate what you can. And I understand that. Look, when it comes to linemen, and Sean Payton said this today, it's hard to evaluate, yes, D-line, offensive line, because the pads and everything. I get that. But for the ancillary guys on the outside, man, it all matters. The fact that most of the time that Breeze or anybody was throwing the ball today and there was hands everywhere, two interceptions, Patrick Robinson and the rookie, Cameron Moore, that stands out. It stands out. That defensive backs room's going, hey, wow, look, huh? We drafted him. Okay, made a play. Hey, you know what to the other guys that were here last year go, oh, great. This guy comes in and makes an interception. I got to play harder. Now he needs a pick. The other guys need a pick. It's good. There's some depth on this team. And I don't know. I kind of like it. I like the fact that it really seems like in an off season where you, me, others that cover this team, national analysts, look, they all think the Saints are a playoff team. They all think the Saints have a roster that maybe could contend to win, you know what. So I like, again, the first week, the first time that we can view competition that involve rookies and veterans and everything all at the same time. I like seeing, you know, fisticuffs. I like seeing competition. I like seeing interceptions. I like seeing all those different things. And Coach said that he didn't talk to his team this year. Well, last year. Interesting.
I haven't even discussed it yet because there's so many new players. I'm sure training camp at some point we'll talk about, hey, here's where our goals are. You know, there's stages to that. But we haven't there hasn't been a team meeting yet where I've discussed last season, for instance. You know, quickly into these OTAs. Once we get to training camp, there'll be more time. And, you know, we'll kind of look at the early portion of the schedule. We'll talk about where we're at as a team. We'll talk about, look, I think there's enough veteran players that understand, you know, the fine line in our business between a groove and a rut. And it's really like this. And, you know, we start off 0-2. You know, and then quickly bounce back with a couple wins and then get on a little bit of a roll after the bye. And that's how our league is. And there's some close games that you look back on, you know, that could go one way or the other. But there's nothing promised the following season after success. And so, look, handling, you know, all of those things, you know, handling the adversity just as importantly as handling the prosperity will be the message.
Brian Enola East joining us back here as he and joined the intern who, I mean, he walked in and gave me the double finger. I mean,
I didn't see it.
I don't know what you taught him in the walk from the locker room to here, but I mean, put your headsets on. That's so disrespectful.
I didn't do anything.
I get you here to do it, and you walk in and you gave me the Sharif Ishak. Sharif does that, not you.
I didn't do anything.
Sharif's a bad influence.
Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe you're not, you know.
I'm what?
I think you're just mad that you didn't get to go into the locker room.
Maybe you're just making it up.
Really?
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
No.
Okay.
Wow, Gus, I can't believe you would, you know, say that on air.
It's unbelievable that both of y'all are against me like this.
I haven't done anything, Gus.
Well, you know, that's what happens, MJ, when you say you carry the team by yourself and we get no credit.
And this is why you get no credit. This is why you get no credit. Here's the other thing that I'll bring you into this conversation before you go to a quick break. Coach Kenny Farrell of the Jester is going to join us here in a second. One of the things that we were looking at, Brian, in more than anything with Sean Payton in the creating of the competition in doing that, look, there's two things that I like to see from that. A lot of people are predicting and talking highly of this team, right? So how do you come out here and do that? The other thing, though, that I like is the fact that you also see the importance in understanding, because he mentioned it in that bite right there. You started out, it's been 2013 since they've won the season opener.
Yeah.
There is no time. There's no, hey, we'll flip the switch here later. Let's get, you better be ready off the bat. And I think they're not saying, hey, we can't compete or we can't do, but let's be honest. You look at that schedule, 4-1 is almost a darn near must before that bye week.
No question.
And you're not going to do that if you're not ready. And that starts this week. It starts in May.
Yeah, I think
everybody
has that message.
Didn't it come across today like, I don't know, you guys just came from the locker room, but doesn't it seem like this team's focus is already, hey, we're ready to go?
You know, it's almost like I stopped myself several times from even asking about week one because the process is so, you know, that time is so far away. But you can see it's like a singular focus with everybody. We had a chance to talk with Drew Brees just now, and he kind of, you know, reminded everybody of the same thing that, you know, it's important to get off to that fast start. And that the reason why he does things the way he does them now is because he likes to see the team build, but they're building for a reason. There's a purpose in mind. It's not just, you know, we're out here, you know, playing pitch and catch. There's a reason that we do this. And, you know, that singular focus is what it is. Getting off to a fast start is imperative for him.
Anything else stand out? We're going to talk about it again right after we talk with Coach Farrell.
Drew did happen to mention, of course, the hot button topic that's all over the league right now as far as, you know, the national anthem, you know, and how this team will actually deal with that process. And, you know, he said, you know, according to him that, you know, everybody knows how he feels at this point. He'll be out there. And he said he doesn't anticipate this team having anyone still in a locker room or any situation like that. So, Drew's very, you know, convinced that this won't be one of the teams that you'll have to worry about fines and or player suspensions or anything like that, or even, you know, a friction in the locker room, right? Because some people are staying and some people are, you know, out on the field.
Yeah, it is interesting that new policy, it almost leaves those players out to dry if they want to stand for
Correct.
What they believe in. And if they believe in not showing up, you know,
it's going to alienate some people definitely in
absolutely.
That situation.
You know, and again, I wouldn't expect anything less from the NFL.
Of course. You know, we'll divide and conquer, basically.
That's exactly how it works. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Coach Kenny Farrell, Jester segment. We do it each and every week, Thursday at 2:30. We have a game tonight. We'll tell you about that. And then we'll come back and we'll get some more observations from the locker room. And we'll wrap up. We're just going to get started here because tomorrow at Deuce McAllister's Old State Kitchen Tap, Jay Hargrave will join the conversation as well. We'll touch a lot more on what we got to see. And again, I kind of like what I saw today.
I liked it a lot.
You can tell a difference between a year where you go, oh, this team's not going to be very good, and man, this team's
got a little pep in the step.
A little hungry.
Yeah.
I like that.
They're not sitting back and just resting on what happened last year, that's for sure.
That is true. Quick break. We'll be back on ESPN New Orleans. Searching for something to say. Welcome back. We'll finish up our thoughts on OTAs here in a little bit. Quick break as we go from football to football. See what I just did there? What, one's football, one's football, as in soccer. At Coach Kenny Farrell of the New Orleans Jesters, at NOLA Jesters is the way to follow over on Twitter. Coach, how are you on game day?
Not too bad. You know, focus, getting ready. Yeah,
you guys got two games here on the road. You got Nashville tonight, and then in 2 days, Chattanooga. Well, a bit of a rivalry in terms of that, but I don't like to do this, Coach, but you have to. A bit of a disappointing loss the last time you guys were on the pitch on Saturday.
Not a bit. It's a very disappointing loss. With the game very much in control for three quarters of it, didn't separate, you know, the scores enough. While we were controlling the game, it was 1-0. And within 90 seconds, they scored two goals, one counterattack and one from a free kick outside the box. And it changed everything. It was 2-1 going into the last 15 minutes, and we had to go chase the game created some opportunities but didn't finish them. But at the end of the game, looking back, it was unacceptable. We should have been, you know, a second, third goal in between us and Greenville at that point when they scored their first one. And I think we really could have wrapped up the game there. But, you know, you live and you learn. It should never happen. So let's hope we bounce back tonight. It's, I know the players are extremely gutted, and it was very painful for them afterwards. It was a good effort put in, but we just didn't finish the team off. And they came back and stung us.
Speaking with that Coach Kenny Farrow. Coach, when you take a look at that game and you take a look at, I know one was the U.S. Open Cup. You came back the following game and won 4-0. And you had this setback, as you're talking about here. Are you expecting tonight this team's focus to kind of rewrite back, and you're expecting a solid effort from you guys?
Yeah, no question. I mean, we're ready to play. There is no team easy in this division. There's no, and playing away to Nashville is very difficult, and playing away to Chattanooga is very difficult. So every game's difficult. You've got to be ready to play every time. No one's going to give anything away easy, and that'll be the same tonight. So we better be ready to play and hopefully swing it our way. We're confident we'll do well, so let's see when the game plays out. But as far as focus is concerned, I haven't had to do much with the players. They are burning to get on the field and burning to play.
Well, that's always a good thing. What can you tell us about this Nashville team?
Extremely good. Very experienced. Got some very good players that come out of the back and join their attack and overlap, and great numbers up when you're defending from wide positions that you have to deal with. And there's one very good player, one of the best midfielders in the league, that distributes the ball extremely well for them and gets their players and gets everything going for them in midfield. Liam Collins is his name. A very, very good player. And we've got to take care of him. I think he's one of the best players in the league.
I was going to say, Coach, what do you think will be key for you guys on the offensive end here as well? Just kind of thinking back to last game and what you were just talking about, saying it, you had opportunities, you had some goals there, but not to get in. How can you turn that around tonight?
Well, it's all about clinical finishing. One thing that we do have, one player back that hasn't played since the beginning of the season, who's going to bring a lot of pace, and he's a finisher, and he's going to play tonight as Hisham. Had a broken jaw, 4.5 weeks since he broke it, so he's back tonight. Hopefully he's at game pace when he plays. He'll help us. But it comes down to this. It comes down to, I think, our team, no matter what team we play against, will create multiple chances to score. It's putting it away. It's making sure that the chance is created. The ratio between that, the ratio between the ones that you actually put in the back of the net, that it's high. And if it's not, we'll leave teams in games, because we're a naturally attacking team. We're very sturdy around the back, although we have a significant injury tonight to one of our main centre-backs, Adeola, who will not play tonight. But at the same time, it's our nature to entertain and go forward. And that sometimes leaves you vulnerable around the back. So when we do that, you better be scoring goals, because the counter-attack and the numbers you leave around the back will be short. It's why, because you're always pushing on. That's just the type of team we are. And when I spoke to you earlier about Nashville getting numbers up, if they can get out and get up the field, they will push wide players up and put numbers up in the final third of the field, which will be dangerous for us. So we just got to be aware of all those things as we play. But I don't think we're going to change our game plan. I think this is the way we play well. And as I say, starting to increase the ratio of chances created to chances finished is the real key for us all season.
And, Coach, finally, before we wrap up, and I'll ask you about the big game on Saturday, and I do mean as well as your game with Chattanooga, this is a rivalry, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a big rivalry. It'll be pretty hostile going in there. They'll wait for us outside. We'll arrive. There'll be some, jeering and different things going on. We just got to stay focused. I'm going to love playing there because the fans are so passionate. I would imagine they'll have 5,000 or 6,000 at the game on Saturday night.
Wow.
They're very, very passionate fans. They love it. They love to beat New Orleans. Our fans get in it on the internet with them and social media. I stay away from it, as you know. But there's no love lost between the fans. There's a lot of respect between the organization and certainly between the staff and the players of the organization. So we have that. It's the off-the-field rivalry is huge. And on the field, any game we play is a big rivalry as far as we're concerned. So, yeah, it's going to be a great day, a great night. It's going to be live streamed. They are, for anyone that wants to watch the game, they can look up Chattanooga's webpage. And I believe at the Royal Court, our fan club, is meeting at Fimical's Irish Pub on Saturday to watch the game on the big screen. So if you do want to go out and have a bevy and watch the game on the screen, that's where you can watch it.
Coach, on Saturday, you got a big one, and that is the Champions League final, Real Madrid and Liverpool. Yes. How big is this game, especially for Liverpool?
Well, for Liverpool, it's huge because they're bouncing back, I mean, into, you know, becoming one of the top teams in the world again. And to win the Champions League is as difficult sometimes as winning the World Cup final. So to be there alone is a great achievement for them. They used to dominate the world back in the late 80s and 90s, and they dropped off for a little bit. But they put themselves right back in the forefront of world soccer as an elite team, although they would be underdogs going into this game. So I have a feeling that they can win it. I don't think their depth is as deep as Real Madrid, and I don't know that the players across the board have the same experience level that Real Madrid has. So that's up against them. But player for player with the starting 11, if the manager, Jurgen Klopp, gets it right and they nullify some of the big guns that Real Madrid have, such as Cristiano Ronaldo, they have every chance of winning it. But Liverpool's moving in the right direction, and they have been for the last few years, and this is a huge step for them as they get back to being one of the top clubs in the world and recognized as that.
And, Coach, I'm having a little fun in here in Justin, and there's nothing to wrap up the exciting weekend. Not only hopefully a win, you guys against Chattanooga, the Champions League, but then on Monday on Memorial Day, USA and Bolivia. Did you even know the men's team was playing on Monday?
Yeah, no, I knew. I mean, the game was going on, but does anybody else know? And it makes you wonder and question. We've talked about this for a long time. All the hullabaloo over the new president and changing things. And I'm out of words. I mean, we're still using the interim coach that was the assistant to the old coach that got let go. And it's the same, you know. I mean, I know he's using younger players and stuff like that, but we need a whole regime change, as I said, from top to bottom. It's just ridiculous. I mean, I don't think many people know this game is even happening. And even though we're not in the World Cup, this is the U.S. men's national team, you know,
right.
And nobody even knows the game is going on. You're a sportscaster, and I have to remind you what's going on, you know?
Yeah, no, so, again, I get it.
I did want to make a point, Gus, about the Tuesday night show, the Jesters coaches show on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. Steve Nicol, who has played in the European Cup final, Champions League final, three times and won it twice. He is our guest, and he'll be talking about, he'll either be gloating because he played for Liverpool for many, many years and he's a legend with them. He now has a sports show on ESPN TV called ESPN FC, and what he used to be one of the best players in the world and played in the World Cup for Scotland. So he's going to be our guest. It's a special guest. If anyone, you know, wants to chime in or ask him a question, they're quite welcome to. And as I say, it will be a couple of days after the European Cup final. So as a big Liverpool person, he'll be very passionate about it. And if there's any Liverpool fans out there who want to speak to him, make sure they know the number and that they can call in and we can get the conversation going.
At NolaJesters.com, you can check out the schedule for the Jesters, Jesters TV, news, tickets, youth camps, the works, all kind of info there. Of course, the Coach Kenny Farrell show on Tuesdays here on ESPN New Orleans. Two road games tonight and on Saturday. And then, of course, Tuesday we'll recap that the day after Memorial Day. Coach, be safe, have fun, pick up some wins, and we'll see you again next week.
All right, take care. Thanks very much.
Yep, for sure. At Nola Jesters is also the way to follow over on Twitter. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up. Just a few minutes left. Some of the other observations. We'll touch on some more from head coach Sean Payton. And then it's Matt Moscone. And after further review, the Tigers 305 LSU will be playing South Carolina then. That'll wait for the previous game to wrap up due to a rain delay, as now weather is going to be an issue here all around the South over the next couple of days. It's been raining here on and off. It's going to be raining on and off the rest of the evening here. And then we got that system coming in over the weekend. So expect some rain over the weekend here in the New Orleans area. We'll be right back with a wrap up the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Everybody here is out of sight.
interesting on ESPN.com, the article talking about the anthem policy. Apparently, sources said league executives polled owners and knew how they would vote, but didn't hold an official tally, which is typical for a major resolution. So in other words, they didn't get together, sit in a room and go, do you, yay or nay? That didn't happen in order to pass the new anthem policy. That's pretty interesting. Even though the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, came out and said it was unanimous among the owners and there was no official vote. Alrighty then, when it comes to that. A little bit more from head coach Sean Payton on some of the things that took place today in OTA number one, or actually number three, but the first week of OTAs in the books from the Saints and what coach thought he saw on the field.
Our first week of phase three, or our third OTA, guys will be off and we'll be back at it next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, much similar schedule as we were on this week. We're doing a lot with our installation, like we are every time this year, trying to make sure. I just finished telling the players that the most important thing this time of the year is quickly getting the players up to speed with the terminology and what to do. It's hard to evaluate a player if he doesn't know what to do. So our jobs as coaches is to bridge that gap quickly with the players that are new, and then carry it over into training camp and begin that install process again.
Yeah, you know, again, interesting that we saw a lot of the different things that give us ideas or maybe think that this team's kind of itching to get back on the field from that Minnesota game for sure. Rookies and PEDs and all these other different aspects of it. No more rookie symposium, essentially. Now it's all being done in-house. Sean Payton kind of explains.
I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to think. If you went back in history, this used to take place a lot more with rookies before the slots, the way it's set up now. You know, your first-round pick wouldn't be in training camp for 3 days, 4 days, maybe a week. And there'd be that pressure, hey, we got to get him in here, you know. And so I think it depends on the player, the club. And they're so different when this happens. So I don't really get as concerned about something I can't control like that. And I'm really focused on the guys that are here and making sure the guys that are here are improving and getting better.
And again, a lot of this, what Sean Payton's touching on and talking about is just, with Mark Ingram not being here and what he got, you know, suspended for and how that's going to affect the teams or not. And essentially how, look, it's a lot different in leagues to kind of hold this whole little deal to talk to everybody. And now it's inside of the team.
Yeah, it's kind of the in-house. And so, you know, there's a notebook of 20, 25 tabs, and it might deal everything from PEDs to recreational drugs to alcohol to domestic abuse to the Saints Hall of Fame to media. You know, those would all be a topic each day.
So, yeah, it's a little different because before it used to have the rookie symposium, and they literally would, rookies would all go meet somewhere and, you know, people would come in and talk and give you the dangers and things of that nature from that. So, again, just a very interesting day in terms of all the different scenarios and things you're starting to see in terms of competition with players and going in. One of the areas we're going to be paying attention to, obviously, is linebacker. And we got to, you know, obviously see Demario Davis for the first time on air. AJ Klein, of course, was on the Tour de Lee, as we said, didn't practice. But at the same time, you kind of start wondering, where is everyone going to sort of play? He was an interesting response here from Coach.
Well, yeah, they're playing at different spots, too. Davis is playing some will. We've got some flexibility, really, with Alex, with Davis. You know, Manti's getting work at the mic. Davis is getting work at the will. Klein will work at the Sam. He's not right now. So the good news is a handful of those players we're talking about are two-part players. They can play Mike Will or Mike Sam. So that'll sort itself out as we get a little bit healthier and closer to training camp.
Do you have a vision for your defensive, Mike, though, or that's a competition between those two?
Well, first off, Klein played Sam in the base last right. year, and then in the sub was the inside backer. We've got a vision for each of those players. And I think that as we get into camp, it'll be a little bit clearer for you all.
And then finally, as we said, a little fisticuffs, if you want to call it that. David Onyemata, Coach Payton on it.
It's a good question. What'd you see? I saw the end of it, and then I was thinking about jumping in between them. And then
I
thought,
I don't want to know about the beginning.
Look, it gets back to some of the challenges for the linemen. Yeah. And, you know, I grabbed them afterwards and made sure they understand, hey, we're here to improve. You know, our guys have done a good job. I thought practice was pretty good today. I thought the tempo was good. We had to come inside. Those guys in those film lifts don't really like being out there when the thunder and lightning come. But I thought the tempo was good. And, you know, fortunately, we just cleaned that up and moved on.
So overall, pretty impressive in terms of day number one. We'll have a lot more of this, obviously, tomorrow. We're live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Don't forget Nichols tomorrow, 9 a.m. Little baseball as well. Congrats to them moving on. Matt Muscoto after further reviews up next on ESPN New Orleans.